Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for iPad Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Coming up on iPad Today, apps for kids as chosen by you.
You, the viewers. Plus, Pinterest hits the iPad, Amazon's Cloud Player takes on iTunes, and Google Plus now plays better with Chrome.
All that and Trap It on what? iPad Today. Trap It!
Trap It good.
Yeah.
iPad Today is brought to you by GoToMyPC from Citrix. GoToMyPC connects you directly to your Office Mac or PC from any other computer and your iPad or iPhone, too. Sign up for a 30-day free trial today at GoToMyPC.com and use the promo code iPad. And by Ford. Ford invites us tech geeks to join the conversation, submit ideas, and grab a tech geek badge at social.ford.com. And by audible.com. To download the free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/iPad today. Love that. The fickle finger of fate.
The fickle finger of fate?
Yes.
Triple F.
Sweeps us
all. iPad Today featuring Triple F and Leo and Sarah.
Hey, Sarah Lane, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
You have the Angel of Doom on your t-shirt. I think that's great. That's very appropriate for this show.
Well, I feel like I am the Angel of Doom most of the time. So, yeah, I thought I'd represent.
And I'm dressed like a priest. So.
Yeah, what's going on? You look like a high school math teacher today. And I mean that in the nicest way possible, but you look like you're going to be up at a chalkboard
your
teaching me some math.
Favorite high school math teacher.
Of course.
Okay.
Math was my favorite subject in high school.
Yeah.
So people you would have been my favorite.
People used to say that about me all the time on screensavers and stuff. Oh, you remind me of my favorite high school teacher.
Oh, yeah?
So I don't mind being that. That's okay.
Yeah, that's good.
That's good.
Yeah.
Mr. Laporte, you can call me.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Ms. Lane, today on iPad Today, we're going to do something...
that's out of my wheelhouse.
Both our wheelhouses.
Yeah. I mean,
but it's a little closer to my wheelhouse than yours.
Yes. We're talking about apps for kids.
Yeah.
This is a highly, highly suggested topic from a lot of people who watch the show.
But we're not parents.
Well, you are a parent.
But my kids are fully, 18
they're,
and 20.
They're adults.
And we didn't have an iPad when they were little.
That's right.
So
and
it's a very different
scare
platform.
Me, so I stay away from them. So I have no idea what
you
they're
have.
Doing
you have cats, iPads. Not kids.
I have cats.
Yeah.
They have their own iPad apps. They're a little bit different than the kind of apps for kids. But they've got a whole category all their own. But I had asked a couple of weeks ago, hey, this is a good topic. We certainly don't want to leave it out because we know that there are a lot of parents who use their iPad for all sorts of things. But you also have kids. Maybe it's a family iPad and you want to know what's appropriate, what's worth the money if it's not free. Because you don't want to be downloading a bunch of stuff only to have your kids hate it.
And they tend to be expensive. And there's no way, unfortunately, to try stuff on the iPad. I wish there were.
Well, it's... could come at a later date.
Yeah.
I mean, the App Store certainly could use that. But yeah, right now, there really isn't a way to know besides trusting reviews of others.
Watching us.
Or watching us.
So we're going to do... Now, the good news is that an actual parent suggested many of the apps we're going to show.
Yes, in fact, Matthew and Dawn, who live in Kitchener, Ontario, Canada, wrote a very thorough email and said they've got two kids... Ruth and Wesley. Wesley's, I think, about 9 months. Ruth is like 3 or 4. So they said these are some apps that our oldest liked when she was really little and still kind of likes. And there's a few other apps that are good for both kids. And then there are apps that are kind of good for everybody because they can sort of be seen as kind of like time wasters. You're stuck in the car type of a thing. Parent, kid, everybody likes it.
So these are aimed at little kids.
Yes.
The littlest kids.
Yeah, these are I would say, under 6.
You know what's interesting, though? The kids take to the iPad. I see this again and again. I see even kids who cannot walk yet, who are crawling, crawl over to the iPad and start playing with it. And I've seen 2 and 3-year-olds actually use it, launch Netflix and launch Phineas and Ferb and watch a show on there without any adult intervention. So there's clearly something going on here. This is something kids really like.
Kids, especially autistic kids.
Oh, yeah. It's great for
that.
There's
a whole support system that's even something that Apple, as a company, has recognized publicly.
War Dog in our chat room says his 3-year-old loves Fruit Ninja.
You know, probably that's kinda, better at it than I am.
That's kind of cool because you can't really give a three-year-old a machete, but they can use one on the iPad.
Right. Yeah.
Get them
in fantasy land.
Build them up that skill. You know, move them onto an infinity blade, and then by the time they're adults, they'll be ready for actual sword fighting.
Right. They can participate in the Olympics.
There you go. That's
and
right.
Actually, bring home a gold. All right, so the first one that Matthew and Dawn, and thank you, by the way, that was just such a nice
great
email.
Stuff.
They've got like very thorough explanations of why they like all these apps, is the Stella and Sam Story Pack.
We should call this the Matthew and Donna Show.
Matthew and Dawn.
Dawn. Matthew and Dawn, Dawn. Show. This is the Matthew and
Matthew
Dawn.
Matthew and Dawn Show.
I'm Matthew, she's
I'm Dawn. Yes. It's like Mad Men, you know, Dawn and Dawn.
Dawn and Dawn. I like it.
It's just, it's fun.
I'm your favorite shop teacher. Ed.
Math. You're a math teacher.
Oh,
I
math.
Didn't take shop.
Okay.
Gosh.
So who is this? Sam and Ted?
This is Stella and Sam.
Stella
this is
and
the
Sam.
Story pack. So basically what you get out of this, I'll go to, you see that there are, well, I'm in one of the stories. If I go home, you see that I have five stories here.
Okay.
So this story pack is basically like buying five little books. So this is $6.99.
Okay.
This is not free.
But it's less than the books would be at the bookstore.
It's less than the books would be, exactly. Yeah. They're interactive. They're really cute. And this is, as I understand, this is a series. So a lot of kids are like, Stella and Sam.
They know it.
Stella and Sam.
Yeah. A TV series?
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you just click on Into the Snow We Go.
Oh, cute.
Yeah, it's cute. And you've got your little story.
Nice illustration.
Yeah. Don't you love going now to you watch the... here, I'll turn this down a tiny bit so I'm not competing with them. You guys get it. You get the idea. Now, if you want to,
is it interactive or they just watch it like a cartoon?
No, it's interactive. You get through the explanation first, and
this is just exposition. But at some point, the kid's going to say,
"Yeah,
you know, I showed
you have little like in story games."
Right. I showed you a couple of weeks ago. Remember the stuff that my kids had grown up with. Mm-hmm. On CD-ROM, the Broderbund Living Book Series. This reminds me of an updated version of that that's really better suited to the iPad. It's prettier, for one thing.
Of course, we're in this very long, because I'm at the beginning of the story.
But at some point, you tap it, click it, interact with it?
Yeah, there's little games that you can play, like make your own shape in the snow kind of a thing.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah, and if, you know, your kid likes a certain chapter the best, oh, I love the part where the fox, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, and that's one thing people say, somebody in the chat room saying, well, $7 for only $5, but little kids do the same thing over and over and over again. Oh.
Yeah, well.
See, a little kid would love that. So they don't mind repetition.
It's like, what is it?
Oh,
hey,
it's
I found something.
It's something. It's
a can. So, I mean, this is all stuff that's designed to, I mean.
This is for a really little kid would love just doing that. Oh, look at that. Yeah.
Found an acorn.
Makes funny things.
This is all stuff that I found in the snow.
Whoa, there are lots of treasures under the snow.
Yeah, got it? Cute. I mean, it's kind of weird how much I like these games. Clearly not designed for me, but I just think they're so adorable.
I like the little kid's voice.
It's like I like them more than I like babysitting.
Kids like it when they interact with the screen and it does something in response. I think that they really like that. And it sounds a lot like the Living Book's voices and everything. That's good. That looks good.
It's cute. So again, this is a $7 five-story pack.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew, when he wrote the email, said that they love, his four-year-old daughter loves playing the games, and his nine-month-old son just likes watching it.
That's neat.
And they said sometimes this is good in place of bedtime stories.
Right.
So you're kind of just interacting, parents are watching, maybe giving a little help if necessary. So yeah, it's the bedtime story of the future, or of the present, I guess. The second app... I was about to say story, is the cutest thing I've ever seen. It's called Nighty Night HD.
Nighty Night HD.
Yes.
Which implies there's a Nighty Night iPhone.
Kids. Almost.
Really?
Kind of.
This got the biological clock ticking again.
Well, the reason I like it so much is because it features animals,
which
is actually what I like the most.
Yeah, I almost said, and I thought, oh, I wouldn't say this. It has cats in it.
It has all sorts of animals.
Okay,
in it.
I almost said that, but
this is probably. I'm going to go ahead and skip the intro. This is telling the story of, you know, the farm, and there's a lot of animals, and it's time for everybody to go to sleep.
The reason they do these long intros, though, is because there are younger kids who will just watch that. Yeah. They don't want to interact with it. And then right. the older kids will interact with it.
Well, and the first time you fire up the app, it's fun to hear the story.
I think so, yeah.
You know, we're so used to being like, get past this. I don't mm-hmm. need to know the intro. I don't need to know how this works. I just mm-hmm. want to click it. But, you know, there's little kids. So, for example, there's a little dog here. You can see the little lights.
And this with the younger kids is really lapware. We used to call it that in the computer days, where the kid would sit in your lap and play the game. And the iPad makes it even more
right.
suitable. You could sit with the child in your lap and the iPad as if you're reading a book and,
exactly.
and play together. Yeah.
Now, this is the concept is as simple as can be. That's a dog. What does the dog say? That kind of stuff.
Oh, this is cute.
But it's time for the dog to go to bed, so I turn off the light, and then it says...
Good night, dear dog.
It's British.
Yes, good night.
Good night, dog.
Then I say, well, where are we going to go next? Let's go into the barn here.
Discovery is a big part of these little kid games, too. They want to be able to
right.
have now fun things happen
yeah,
by surprise.
Yeah, and it's subtly saying, like, here's the light switch over mm-hmm. here. It's time for the cow to go to bed. Now, I don't know why I love this so much.
Good night, dear cow.
I don't even need a kid on my
you
lap.
Know, this is interesting, because this reminds me of Good Night Moon. One of the ways you get kids to go to bed is Good Night
Everyone's
Moon.
Everyone's
going
good night. To bed.
Everybody's going to sleep.
Yeah.
That's what this is obviously for. That's cool.
It's adorable. Look at that jackass.
This is lapware. This is really for you as a parent to do with your... Aww. Let's put the little...
Good night.
Good night, dear chickens.
Good night. This is the modern Good Night Moon.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
Is it just good night, good night, good night?
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's pretty much it.
And how much is that one?
It's $1.99.
See, that's great.
Yeah, 99 cents in the App Store.
I got to tell you, I went through 10 copies of Good Night Moon when Abby was little. It's a cardboard book. It's a board book.
Yeah.
But she would tear it up. Actually, we had different kinds. She would tear it up. She would chew it. No, this is she would bite it. She was a baby.
Yeah.
And you love that book so much. I love Good Night Moon. This is Good Night Moon. Now, I hope the kid doesn't chew up the iPad, but I don't think they can.
Well, they're going to hurt their teeth.
They'll lick it.
Yeah, there's less incentive. The next app is called Bubbles.
Bubbles.
Which is, by the way, I think these are all Universal apps. Maybe not 99 HD, obviously.
HD wouldn't
because,
be, yeah.
But Bubbles certainly is. This is, Matthew says, not only a great app for kids, but a great app just for mindless entertainment when, again, you're stuck in traffic or something.
Ooh.
Bubbles.
Yeah, I could see giving the kids in the backseat this and saying,
right.
okay.
And saying maybe something like, how many bubbles,
right.
you know, can you pop?
This is all it does?
Yep, this is it.
This is the modern bubble wrap.
Write my name.
Oh, I like this. Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
Boy, is that simple.
I mean, there's nothing to it.
Yeah.
Nothing to it. But if you've got a really little kid... Or a kid who's, I don't know, new to iPads or, I mean, just something where there's nothing to learn.
I think it's for a two-year-old would probably just love
yeah,
this.
Well, and you know, the sounds are fun.
I know lots of adults that do those bubble wrap games. Remember the website that was just bubble wrap, popping bubble wrap?
Yeah. I mean, when bubble wrap comes to our studio now.
We fight over it.
Yeah, I have to have it taken away from me because I'm very disruptive.
Yeah, my side.
The bubble wrap wars.
Yeah.
Yes. That's Bubbles.
Bubbles.
It's Bubbles. Real simple.
Oh, that's Hog Bay Software. Jesse Grosjean. I love him. He does great Mac software. I think, as I remember, Jesse had little kids, so he's probably a dad who was just kind of inspired to do this. That's great.
Internet in chat says, there are more pointless adult games than this. You're right.
Jesse's a great, great software author. Really has a great sense of style.
It just, you know, it seems like, okay, I got it. How
can you change the color? Looks like you can change the colors and stuff, right? You haven't figured out the interface yet? Give it to a two-year-old.
What do you mean? I haven't figured out the interface.
Looks like there's different kinds of bubbles. I'm just saying.
You can buy different bubble sets.
Oh, you buy them?
Yeah. These
are Jesse, you smart man. There you go.
Bubbles or claymation faces both come.
Comes with claymation. Oh.
Yeah. So if you want to go nuts, I mean, if this is your kid's favorite game ever... You can buy more stuff. I just don't want to say this is only fun if you end up spending $4. That's not true.
Now it's actually increasing in fun.
Yeah. Man, I ought to grow up one day. And finally, Tesla Toy. What's so nice because I've never heard of any of these games because, again,
why would we not?
I'm not in the right market
for this
kind of stuff.
I love that kid. That Good Night one is really
cool. Isn't it cute?
Yeah, I can see why you like that so
much. Love it.
Yeah.
Man, there's little barn animals. I want to live on a farm.
Did you try the cats and the bubbles?
No, they don't even like the cat games.
They don't
much.
Go for the fish games or the.
They just look at me, you know, because I'll go play,
surely,
and then they look at me like, "What do you want?"
You're not asking me to pretend that that's a real mouse on
that ice skating rink of.
I'm sorry.
This little thing. Finally, Tesla Toy, not too different than Bubbles, actually, but it's just a little visualizer. So, you know, you hold your hand steady. Mm. You get kind of a neat thing here.
Mm-hmm.
You can move it around.
Mm.
The color changes.
Mm.
And then if you go quickly,
mm-hmm.
you make kind of neat stuff.
Mm. I don't think I'd like that either.
You don't think you'd like it either?
A little boring. You don't have any liver treats, do you?
Oh, you're being a cat.
Oh, yes.
I was like, geez, Leo, tough crowd. I don't know.
That wasn't the science teacher talking. That was a cat. No,
you
that's
can
really
also,
cool. Yeah,
as a
neat.
Kid, you can be like, ooh, neat. You know, I'm making these neat designs.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and take a picture.
Can you save them? Oh, you can.
Yeah.
Ah.
It's kind of weird, though, because it goes away so quickly.
Yeah.
Maybe if I try sticky fingers on.
You need persistence.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Ooh, sticky fingers.
Yeah.
Ooh, more fingers. See how many touches you can do. You should be able to do 10.
Oh, sorry. I should have said initially, got it, that was a very Canadian sorry. Just then,
sorry.
That you can do multiple fingers and make things more interesting.
I see.
Yeah, so you know, you got little kids, little hands. They can go buck. They can go buck wild. We can go anything from.
Hours of fun.
It's just neat, right?
Yeah.
It's just fun. Hey, look at us.
Save that.
Some sort of a wormhole. Saved.
Wouldn't it be cool if it actually were?
A wormhole?
Yeah.
And this was how we went into the next dimension?
Yeah.
We just went through this?
That'd be cool.
That would be cool.
Good for 99 cents.
Yeah. It's $1.99, actually,
for
Tesla 99.
Toy. Well, no, what? Then there should be a wormhole in there.
This is neat, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
I find it very enjoyable.
Neat.
Yeah, for kids. So those are four quick ideas. If you don't have any of these apps downloaded, you've got Stella and Sam Story Pack, you've got 99 HD, you've got Bubbles, and you've got Tesla Toy. And I have the folks, Matthew and Dawn, and Ruth and Wesley, who are the good testers of the family, to thank you for these really good ideas. We got a lot of ideas from a few of you guys because we had asked a few weeks ago, hey, if you know of kids apps, let us know because we're not experts.
That's something we're not expert. We can't really judge.
Yeah.
You need a little kid to kind of... to tell you whether that's a good thing.
Yeah, and you don't, they don't, people don't want to rent their kids out for things like this.
We've tried.
I have. I say, I want to rent your kid for iPad.
He's a cute kid. That's a cute kid.
He's a cute kid.
Yeah.
And Ayaz says, no.
No.
He will not be part of your little experiment.
He will not rent his kids.
No. Yeah. For your money and your fame.
We built this Skinner box, and we had a little Cheez-It nozzle and the whole thing, and he wouldn't do it.
Smart kid. If you missed any of the apps that we mentioned, something looks good to you, you think it might be a good gift, you're an aunt or an uncle, that sort of thing, you know, you can think outside the box. Even if you don't have your own kids, we will have all of our links on our episode page at twit.tv/IPT. That's the main page. You can click into any of our episode pages from there. And all of our links are right there, as well as our video and a little information about the show.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Now in HD.
Yeah, we've got HD feeds.
Yeah.
Thanks for reminding me.
I'm so excited. Now, HD to us is only 720p. Because if we made them 1080p, the file sizes would be really out of control. They're already big. So a word of warning, if you're on a limited, you know, bandwidth, if you don't, for instance, if you're using your Verizon or your AT&T iPad, you probably should wait till you get to Wi-Fi.
Right.
But, because they're big. I don't know. How big is the HD file? It's for an hour show.
Bigger.
It's a couple of gigs,
than
I think.
Larger.
Yeah. Or it's a gig. So anyway, they look great, especially on the iPad.
Fantastic. We now have HD. We have large, that's basically SD. We have small, which is great for mobile. And then we have audio. So we've got everything covered.
The large is ED, enhanced definition. It's 480p. It's DVD quality.
Okay.
So there's 720p HD quality. There's DVD quality's large.
HD,
and then the mobile
ED,
is SD.
Mobile,
so
SD.
So it's HD, ED, SD.
Okay. Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah. We don't use those designations because I don't think people really know or care.
It's more of like, will this look good on my device?
Exactly.
If you're watching on the biggest TV ever... you got to have the HD.
So we're pleased. All of our shows will be HD, but it just takes a while to roll them out one after
the other. Yeah, we have been
finally
rolling out,
turn.
And finally, iPad Today
our
is
turn.
Part of that rollout. Quick reminder, if you watch the show on demand, thank you so much. We don't really care when you watch the show as long as you like the show, but if you want to watch us live and aren't already, we do record iPad Today on Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific.
Right after Leo? Windows Weekly. Would be the accurate way to put that. Roughly one.
So
one,
roughly
1:30.
Right. I'm sitting here at one. So
she was sitting here going.
Well, I always sit here at one because I figure If I'm not, then you'll say, well, you weren't ready either. But I'm in chat, and I'm hanging. So thanks to everybody who watches live and participates with us in our chat room. That's what I'm pointing at right now. And says things like herp derp. Very helpful stuff. And if you have app ideas of your own, because we're always looking for suggestions, you know where to go, iPadToday@twit.tv.
Yes,
and
indeed.
Tell us all your deepest, darkest secrets.
And we will read them dramatically
next week.
If you do send them to us, I will read them dramatically.
Good.
I'll make that deal to you.
Have you seen those Yelp dramatic review readings?
No.
It's very funny.
That's really funny.
You know, Yelpers are so dramatic.
They are dramatic.
And so when you get a dramatic reading,
this restaurant was so bad. I think it would be fun.
The server looked at me funny.
Horrible.
Yeah. We get some of those emails, actually, too.
It's summertime. You've done your vacation.
Summertime and the living's easy.
Are you done with vacation? You got another trip somewhere you'd like to go?
Well, we're probably going to be in France in December. I consider that a trip, even if we're working.
Okay. I think a lot of people take August off. France takes August off. I know that much.
Yeah, it's very hot there.
It is.
I tried not to take August off in France, but you're right.
No,
a lot of Europe takes July and August off.
Sure. And maybe you're planning a trip to the Poconos. Or you just want to, maybe go home early and spend some time at the pool, enjoy the nice weather. Well, I got a way you can do it and still stay in touch with the office. Because nowadays, business is 24/7. You travel, especially if you're like me, if you're a small business owner and you want to leave, you're afraid of what you're going to miss. This is a great product for you. You could take your iPad on the road and still access your office computer. You can see your office email, send and receive, run any program. You can access any network resource. It really, the whole office PC is there. It's as if you're work, but you're not. And of course, it's Go to My PC. It's amazing. It works on a Mac or a PC at the office. And then you can use any computer or your iPad. You can even use an iPhone. Brian Brushwood on Twit this week was showing me how he was using his iPhone to Go to My PC to watch Flash. He had a Flash animation or Flash, I guess it was some sort of statistics he was watching on book sales for the Diamond Club. And it was kind of in Flash, so of course you can't do that on the iPad or the iPhone. He fired up Go to My PC, went to his home computer where it's installed, and he was able to see it on his iPhone, on his iPad. It's just an amazing thing. I love Go to My PC. Fast, by the way, very secure, and that's important. It's 100. To my knowledge, there's never been an exploit with GoToMyPC because it uses some very important technologies, SSL for one, to encrypt the conversation you're having back home. But also, it uses NAT traversal. So at the office, you don't have to put a hole in the firewall. It's very secure. IT department loves it because you don't have to call them. Visit GoToMyPC.com. See that orange try it free button? Yeah, there's the free app. But do this on your desktop at work. Or whichever desktop you want to access, on Mac or PC, click the Try It Free button, and you can, try it free for 30 days. Just make sure you use the promo code iPad at the bottom there. They say optional. It's not optional. You have to use my promo code iPad so that we get credit for it. And then hit the road and download the Android or the iPad or there's the iPad version. It's just, or actually, there's the iPhone version. It's fantastic. There's the iPad version. Go to mypc.com. Try it free right now. Just remember to use the promo code iPad. And then hit the road. Enjoy what's left of summer. Do you feel the end of summer coming? That it's kind of starting to... I feel like it is.
Well, summer's weird for me because in San Francisco it's cold.
Yeah, it's
in the
freezing
summer.
Always.
I mean, it's not always
the nice
cold.
Weather is coming in San Francisco, September,
actually,
October.
That's true because the fog starts to go away. But it's not like it's, beat the heat type stuff.
Yeah, we get summer here.
Up here, though. Yeah. But, I mean, we're inside the studio and... We're working, and I don't know. I don't feel like... I went to Vegas last weekend, and that's summer. That's crazy.
How many people were in that swimming pool with
Probably
you?
Probably 3,000.
That did not look sanitary.
It wasn't.
That was disgusting.
It was the opposite of sanitary.
Was
but
it
there was a
party?
Lot of
what was it?
Yeah, there's... So you know the Encore, right? Hotel and Casino.
Yeah.
It's the Wynn. It's the one next to it.
Yeah.
They have several different pools there, but one of the pools... which is like a hassle to get into, is called the Encore Beach Club. And we were like, Beach Club, that sounds
good.
Nice.
I'd like to go to the beach
and
club.
And they're like, do you want a cabana or do you want a lily pad? The lily pad's sort of on the edge of the water. And we're like, lily pad, that's perfect. There's an umbrella, right? Because I don't like to be in the sun.
Mm.
And it was like a crazy, psychotic party.
You put pictures on Instagram and Path. It looked like there was one person in every square foot.
I mean...
It was jammed.
People were sharing our lily pad with us, not because, they couldn't help it. I would kick people off if they were being idiotic or smoking or something, but it was the most...
Didn't look like fun. How long did you stay?
7 hours. It was fun. It didn't start out fun, but then you just got to join them because you can't beat them or something
like
that.
It's the Grand Central Swimming Pool.
Hey, it was, this is one of those things. It's a spectacle.
You stayed all day?
All day. They had blueberry mojitos. They were very good.
Aha!
Just saying.
That's the secret.
But yeah, that's summer.
Wow.
That's actually not a normal summer for me at all. That's maybe the weirdest thing I could ever do. But it was fun.
I'm glad I saw the pictures because it actually made me feel like, it actually made me feel glad that I wasn't there.
That was kind of what I was trying to convey.
I'm so glad I'm not there.
You could have been me right now, hanging out with the crazies, wearing the stilettos in the pool.
They were wearing high heels in the swimming pool. What's that all about?
I guess it's.
You don't want to take them off because you're afraid somebody will steal them?
I think it's more like I look better.
It's a fashion.
So that's what I'm doing. I don't know. They're crazy people. Insane people. Hey, Leo, let's not talk about Vegas. Let's talk about something that actually is pretty sad. Mixel.
Now, dying. I love Mixel. This is the thing that you, actually, MG discovered it. And he spent a lot of time doing it.
I don't think he discovered it. But
he was the first in our crowd to spend hours doing collages.
I never quite got why he liked it that much.
You mocked him. I think it was a little girly, but I'm not going to say anything.
Well, the thing is that he was the only person that I knew that really liked Mixel until one week you were out of town or you, for some reason, couldn't do the show. Gina Trapani was my special guest.
She loved it, too.
She loves it. She says it's, like, soothing to her, and she likes the creative aspect of it.
So you don't have to be an artist. People offer little bits and pieces. You know when it got really big was the pepper spray guy. The pepper spray cop, and people would have a little kit with the pepper spray cop.
That's right.
And then they'd mix
it
in
was
other
the remix stuff.
It was, you could remix stuff. Now you would do Michaela is Not Impressed.
Right.
And you see all of the meme things of Michaela, who's part of our Fab Five gymnastics team at the Olympics, doing that when she won the gold medal. She was like,
no, she's silver.
Silver.
She fell. She knew she deserved that gold. It was a fluke. She was not impressed.
So they took the picture of her going like this.
Yeah.
And then put it on all sorts of... Yeah, that's good. You got it. That's the look.
Yeah.
So you know how to do
not
that.
Impressed.
So anyway, so this is a tool that would let you do that. But what, you went bankrupt? What happened?
Well, no. So this is actually the interface. This is, it's kind of like mixed media stuff.
So if you have it, you still can use it.
This is something that I made. Yeah, so this is... I had downloaded this a while ago. So it's not like it's getting pulled from my iPad. It has been pulled from the App Store, though.
Oh, no.
So if you don't have it, you can't use it anymore. This is one of my favorites. That was a really nice Mixel that I made. Isn't it pretty? Well, I guess you can't make it any bigger.
Yes, you can.
Oh.
There it is.
Well, now I'm getting into editing mode. So.
Oh, it's mixing it, remixing.
Yeah, it's
that's pretty funny.
It's fun, but I always felt like this is fun once or twice, or I have a specific meme that I want to push out. I can't see going back.
The result isn't that compelling, and apparently the world agreed.
For the most part, yeah. I mean, you've got some really talented artists who can make something really cool based on other images that people are adding to the pot, because that's kind of, you remix other people's stuff. But the CEO said, we've decided the time has come to pull this first iteration of Mixel to rest. Mm. They've pulled it from the App Store. They say, come September, none of this actually will be active anymore because we're actually going to take it off of our servers.
See, this is the problem, and this thing always makes me nervous. When a company's not charging for the app. The app was free.
Mm-hmm.
They're not charging for the service, but it uses their resources, their money, because you're running a server.
That's right.
And you say, well, how is that going to work out? How are you going to make money? And I guess they just realized that they weren't.
You know, Kevin Rose's Oink, for example. Oink shut down. The company kind of dissolved. Some of them went to Google. They offered an export tool. So anything that you had added into Oink, you can export. But now I have that as a file somewhere. And it's like...
What are you going to do with that?
The service doesn't exist anymore. Right. So it's all of a sudden it's time and effort that I put into something that I feel like it's nice to be able to give me my data back in some form. But yeah, you kind of have to assume... Not all of the apps that we talk about are going to succeed or even be around next year.
In fact, I pay attention to that. If there's something I really like, I want to pay for it or I want to see if they have a business model. Otherwise, you've got to assume that eventually it's going to go away.
Right.
Kevin was on Twitter. I don't know if you saw him on Sunday. And he talked a little bit about that.
Yeah.
And deciding to pull the plug on Oink. He said, we had, I can't remember, 300,000 or 400,000 users.
Right.
But it just wasn't enough. And it was time to move on. And then along comes Google and offers them all a job. And it was kind of a hard thing to turn down.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it
happens. We forget. There's something about humans. We only live in the time zone that we're in. We forget. apps come and go all the time.
All the time. There was actually a really good article that I read this morning, and now the name of the guy who wrote it is escaping me. Andrew Chen, maybe? Anyway, he was saying, this really feels like 1999 all over again.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not a bunch of like home delivery services bringing you groceries to your house, but we've got a lot of apps where it's like, team gets a little investment money, enough to run a few servers, hire a few people, put out something that looks nice. Okay, then you add Facebook Connect, and now a bunch of people are sharing it on Facebook, and you get a nice, you know, you get a couple people writing
viral
about you.
Yep.
And so then you get to a certain amount of users, and you feel on top of the world, and then growth stagnates, and then you pivot.
And it's now
and
what?
And then you, yeah. And
you know what's different? Of course, I lived through that. You're too young to remember 1999.
I'm not too young.
But you were what, eight?
I was working full time post college.
You were delivering papers? What were you? You had a route.
Right. So I was watching 99 HD over and over.
The difference is a couple of things. I don't think we are exactly in the bubble of 1999. You're certainly seeing a lot of creative ferment. But what's different is it's much cheaper and easier to do this because of Amazon's EC2 and Microsoft and other companies, Google App Engine. It's easy to develop a concept, put it out, and at a much lower cost, try it out and be successful. There's a much more vibrant virtual venture capital and angel investing community. So there is money out there. And the biggest difference is you don't have the overheated stock market and the IPOs you had. And that's what really killed a lot of these companies, was these big public offerings and then just collapse. Although Facebook might be a counterexample.
Well,
because its stock is
like,
half what it was.
Sure, right? These companies won't all IPO, but then what are they doing? You know, so many of them have to offer services for free.
They're hoping to sell to Google or Yahoo, because that's...
Exactly, but then there aren't enough of those big companies buying the small companies.
Right.
I mean, the Instagram thing,
everybody knows,
one in a million.
I think everybody knows it's kind of a crapshoot. The entry level, the cost of entering it is so low that if you just said, I think you should do it. If you're out of college, you're a programmer, you got a great idea, write some software, do it on App Engine.
Sure. You shouldn't shy away from making a product just because...
Maybe it's 1 in 20 or 1 in 100 chances of making money, but if that's... Better than nothing.
Well, and some people go in with a business model right off the bat. So
that's what I like.
Yeah.
That's what I like to see.
It's people approach this in all different ways. I think it's really fun to download the stuff and try to figure out what's going to stick and are they fulfilling a need that I have. And
that's what we do. That's our job.
I mean, yeah, that's the fun part of my job. But as somebody who watches the show, you know, some of the stuff that we talk about, it's like you have to keep in mind.
You were skeptical about Mixel. I remember.
I knew.
Yeah.
I knew.
You knew.
I will say that.
Yeah.
You were
skeptical.
Yeah, if somebody would have said, should I bet money on Mixel? I would have said no. Although the company is not going away. They are merely refocusing, and they apparently have a product that's different that they're going to introduce soon. Huh. So we will be waiting with bated breath for the next iteration. And as long as it's an iPad app, we'll talk about it on the show. Hey, so guess who got an iPad app? Speaking of them, little company called Pinterest.
Finally.
Big in the women community, so I hear.
Is there a women community?
Yeah, there's like 50% of the world or so.
Really? That many?
I think it's actually more than 50.
I think 50% of the world uses Pinterest.
Yeah, so Pinterest is a extremely, what?
You could use it on the iPad and Safari as a browser, right?
You could.
So this is
and
how,
there has
let's
been
see the let's see the app. How is this better?
It's just a native it's a native app. So I'm in my my account and I'm looking at art right now. If I go ahead and I can just go ahead and search by popular or animals
or
design.
You could do on Safari. The real thing I'm curious about is the key to the desktop Pinterest is it's easy in your browser to pin something.
Yeah.
And that's what you want. You want to create, but this is can you do that? Does it add a pin it?
Of course. Why would they make an iPad app where you couldn't pin anything? That's the whole point of Pinterest.
Okay.
If I go to the people that I'm following, sorry, but I mean that was a silly question.
Well, okay. First of all, just crashed.
It just crashed.
There's a good start.
So yeah, all I was trying to do was go home. Don't send. Whatever. So if I'm like, okay, that is one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
That's beautiful.
Fairy tale ponds.
So you can repin it
on the Isle of Skye, Scotland.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can go ahead and either share this, like this, or repin it.
Okay,
very
so that's
nice.
Sharing it back to your Pinterest stream.
That's correct. Yeah, and then if I am, let's see.
This looks good.
I'm browsing the web here.
Yeah. Oh, so it has a built-in browser, so you could looking around. And
yeah.
Stuff.
So if I'm looking to share with my community, I can go ahead and load something up. I'm going to use twit.tv as an example just because, I don't know, why not? And then you go ahead and pin it. And this is at the point where this works just like the web version of Pinterest. What's our best thumbnail here? Certainly not that one. That one looks pretty
good. You and
good.
Me, baby.
Yeah.
So what do you use Pinterest?
I don't use Pinterest on a daily basis.
When I was hunting for furniture for my apartment and decor for my apartment, I used it for that. So just to kind of bookmarking. But I didn't get, I mean, it didn't seem like such a great, better thing than just putting it in Evernote or bookmarking it. I guess I'm just anti-social.
That's the problem that I have with Pinterest as well, is it's a bookmarking service.
Right.
It's just visual.
Right.
And has, you know, that appeals to a lot of people. But it's not like we don't have other services where you're kind of remembering to come back to something.
Right.
Although there is a little bit more of a social aspect because, again, you are seeing thumbnails. And if it's something like design ideas for my new apartment, you can have a whole pin board that I could look at rather than clicking a bunch of links.
Yeah. And I do know people. Tanya Hall, who's a radio host in Colorado, is like crazy about Pinterest. She's posting dozens of things every single day.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
so there are people who just love it.
She and millions of others, men and women,
and
dogs. Yeah. It's
dogs?
Yes. Dogs are very big on
Pinterest.
Probably. I'm just going to go ahead and guess that somebody has a Pinterest account.
A cat would never use Pinterest, though.
No, cats love Pinterest. Oh. Yeah, especially in the,
how about farmyard animals?
Farm animal, why not? Yeah. There's something for them, too. What's nice about Pinterest, this app, is...
I'm getting it right now.
It kind of, in a way, even though the website is nice, it works just fine. A lot of what I actually like about Pinterest is a
browsing
product that I like that then I can click through and buy.
Oh, can you do that on this?
You can, you can do that with any product that someone shares that then clicks back to a website that allows you to buy it, whether it's, an Amazon page or a product page on some independent site. But I like that about Pinterest. So I always find myself, I end up looking in the art section because not only do I just like to browse art, but I like to, if I see something I like if I was like into this Marilyn Monroe picture, let's go ahead and
you
click
could buy
through.
That.
And see, well, I don't know yet.
Now, an interesting
art.net
thing.
Galleries, yeah. So this is something that I could buy.
An interesting thing
is that's where it was originally shared from.
You could, in theory, even make money as a pinner
right.
on Pinterest because you could put an affiliate code.
Link, yeah.
And they'll leave that in. I know Pinterest puts their own in as well if there isn't one. That's how they make money. And see, I don't mind that because that's a business model. That means Pinterest will be around. I want them to make money.
Mm-hmm.
But I love it that you could also make. I wonder if anybody's making any bank on Pinterest.
Well, probably. I mean,
if somebody's doing some good stuff.
If you've
I guess
got a popular enough account and you're spending enough time giving people what they want. I mean, this is, I think for a lot of folks, this would replace something like a blog of Sarah's Design Blog, coolest stuff you'll find online this week type of a thing. Like if I was keeping that up and I had really good taste, someone would want to.
That's a lot of ifs.
Well, hello. If hypothetically I had good taste in furniture, I could make a blog or I could just create a Pinterest page. It's kind of already set up for me and it looks nice.
I like the idea. It just reminds me a lot of Tumblr. You could do a lot of people do that with Tumblr.
Yeah.
Tumblr. But I know
I like
Pinterest
it. Pinterest almost.
Do you?
The Tumblr accounts where it was actually something I found on Pinterest earlier and it was like a sparkly scarf and I was like, wow, that's really nice. I wonder how much it is. I clicked through and it was just like an art Tumblr page that somebody had shared.
Yeah.
So sometimes you get into like a dead end and you think, well, I mean, what am I supposed to do? Just look at this picture for the rest of my life? I want the scarf.
Okay.
But maybe that's just because I like online shopping
down.
So much.
It's good, Dale.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, so Leo,
maybe
we should get off of Pinterest because I'm getting a little too heated up.
Yeah.
Google Plus app has been updated and it does something pretty cool now.
Oh. I should try it. What does it do?
If you also have Chrome, the app installed on your iPad, which you do, and you click on a link, an external link in Google Plus, you now have the option to open it up in Chrome as well as Safari.
I'm surprised Apple allows that.
Well, why wouldn't they? They allow other companies to do this. This is a developer tool that Apple gives companies. Well, not just companies, but anybody who's writing apps.
So, in fact, Google published code for other app developers saying, hey, if you wanted to have links open in Chrome, here's what you would do. And there's simple code that you could put into any iPad or even iPhone app that says, Is Chrome installed? If yes, open this in Chrome. If not, open it in Safari.
So
Google's obviously
like.
Just implementing it in their own code.
Yeah, Google's like, there's nothing wrong with this.
It's legal.
This is Apple sanctioned. So let's say, all right, I'm looking around. I want to open up this link to, I don't know, the Food Network, whatever. Go ahead and get the recipe. Now, what happens is there's kind of a like a pseudo browser. It's like a viewer that opens up in Google Plus. This is in Google Plus. But let's say that I now want to open it up. It used to just be open up in Safari. Now I have open in Chrome as well. I can choose to open in Chrome, and there it goes.
Neat.
Yeah, it's neat. Now Chrome doesn't have access to the what's it called? It's like the Nitro Java engine that Safari does. So you will notice that things might not be as snappy when you're opening stuff into Chrome.
Yeah.
But if you're like, I don't want to use Safari, and maybe you do feel that way, or you love Chrome, or whatever. I mean, whatever the reason is, it's nice to have options. And this is not anything that you have to do back end on your own. As long as you have Chrome and Google Plus installed, it just shows up for you if you want to open it up that way. But I did have the same reaction at first, like, Apple's allowing that, huh?
Huh.
Interesting.
I don't know why. I just assumed that they might not. But of course they'll allow that. They allow Chrome. Why wouldn't they allow apps to link back to it?
Well, and if you start stripping out certain functionality, then it's like, well, I mean, are all Google products going to go away?
Right.
I don't know. Maybe.
Some are. We know that.
It would just tick people off. Some are, but I think you're talking about maps, right?
I'm talking about YouTube, and I'm talking about maps.
But those are both going to be standalone apps.
Replaced.
Google will just...
Right. We presume. We don't know.
I'm positive that Google will submit those apps into the App Store.
Would you care to make a small wager?
Well, because you don't think that they'll submit apps into the App Store?
I'd
like to make some money.
I have a history
of making
losing bets. So
okay.
Don't read anything
into
that.
How much is in your wallet?
That.
I will take it.
Whatever's in my wallet, you will take?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. I won't even feel bad about it.
I'll go on Amazon and
I'll buy all Clad cookware.
Which you did.
Which I did with your money yesterday.
It was not my money.
It's a long story.
It's not my money.
Well, it's the company's money.
When you
money.
Buy an app on that iPad, though, that is my money.
Well, it's the company's money.
The company's money.
No, the cookware I bought
That
on
was
Amazon.
A gift. It's your money now. That was your holiday bonus.
Okay.
You're allowed to spend that. It's not my money.
It started out as your money.
Well, a lot of things start out as my money. that new coffee machine waiting for me at home started out as my money. Did you take the coffee machine home?
No, I forgot. But maybe I will
today. It's very high. You may not be able to reach it.
Well, I'll need a very tall
ladder. Ask me. I will climb up and get that for you.
I think I'm probably more nimble.
We have an old coffee machine.
Than you. No offense.
That was sitting... You're more nimble on a kitchen counter?
Would you like
to make a wager on that?
Yes. You're going to hurt yourself trying to win your wallet back.
That's a new game.
It's weird.
What's in your wallet, and are you more nimble on a kitchen counter? I think this is going to be a great show for our next season.
Yeah. Instead of will it blend, more nimble?
Who's more nimble?
Climb this rock.
That's it. It doesn't have to be on a kitchen counter. It could be on anything.
Yeah.
Who's more nimble on
.. And then the audience votes... And then I haven't thought the rest of it through, but I bet it's going to be a great show.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is how the magic happens.
That's
I
right.
I just want you to know. It's just that simple.
Are you wanting to answer a question that Ben asked?
Yes.
This is a very sort of like very broad question. Usually the Ask Leo questions are like, how do I fix this thing that is not working specifically on my computer? Ben says, Leo, do you think print magazines will survive much longer, or will the iPad be the way of reading them?
You know what's interesting? I think print magazines will last, because I still see people buy them at the grocery store, getting on a plane with print magazines. I love reading on the iPad, and I do, you know, we were talking about Next Issue a few episodes ago, and I think it's great.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's going to replace it. I think even more than books, people like magazines, don't you? When you went on vacation... to Vegas, did you bring us people, Entertainment Weekly, and you know, just kind of enjoy, have a like a gossip?
You assume so much about my interests. You would assume correctly.
I thought
but it's
I
not
did.
Like I told you I bought.
No, see, I didn't have to know. I knew that.
Here's why I bought those very three magazines or magazines like them.
Because Tom Cruise was on the cover.
No, that's old news.
Oh.
I've already read all that stuff at the gym. No,
something about The Bachelor.
The reason is because if I have internet access, then I don't need those magazines. But on a plane,
exactly,
I don't. I guess I could load some stuff up ahead of time. But even when you're taking off and landing, you can't have anything electronic on. So it's like you just want the magazines. Then you just leave them in the seat back when you're done.
It's still easier to read a magazine. I'm sorry. Yes, I have Next Issue on here. Yes, I have The New Yorker on here. It's too much work compared to flipping through a magazine. I just think it's easier to flip through a paper magazine. Now, here's the pressure that's going to perhaps have it happen. It's already happening in the newspaper industry. It's harder for these companies to make money with their display ads. Mm-hmm. And the ink and paper and delivery is getting much, much more expensive. And that's really almost killed the newspaper industry already. And I imagine this will happen with all printed materials. It's just very expensive. So unless something has a real premium audience and they have a way of reaching that audience and advertisers want to buy ads, or maybe subscribers want to pay for the magazine, I think it's the economics of it are going to get harder and harder. It's so much cheaper to put a magazine on an iPad.
It is getting to the point now where, I mean, there's certain, I don't know, cafes or whatever where everyone's still reading the New York Times, but sometimes I'll see someone with a bunch of newspapers spread out, yep. You know, and I'll go, gosh, yeah, that's, what a mess.
Yeah.
It's so much easier to just have your iPad or something out, you know, or whatever, you know, your tablet or your laptop.
I have to admit, I do not take a newspaper anymore. I love reading the newspaper, but you know why I don't take the newspaper? Because I also love sharing the articles. I used to cut them out.
You did?
This is called radio prep. When you're doing a radio show, you'd cut out the articles and you put them in a manila folder and bring them in. And now you just go share, bookmark. That's like I use Flipboard for
sometimes there'd be like an editorial or something, and I'm like, so-and-so would really like this, and you mail them.
You mail it to them.
You mail
how retro is that?
Story or something.
So when I'm reading a newspaper now, I find it very frustrating because I want to share this, and I, what am I going to do? It's on a piece of paper. So Flipboard has, for me, replaced, and you know, I guess it's even replaced magazines, but I think that I am unusual in that regard.
Well, I don't think so.
I love Flipboard.
I
read it all the time.
I read Flipboard
every morning.
Single day.
I get up this is my news.
That's actually usually what I do before I go to bed because I've got a lot of my fun feeds that I don't really have time to get to the rest of the day. Absolutely love it.
And this is more like the kind of thing you do with a magazine where you're not really, it's not purposeful.
The thing about flipping through pages too, is that like, you're not reading a single magazine. You're reading whatever the heck you want.
You're not really reading. More than a few paragraphs at all. You're just kind of browsing.
But it's not like you're reading people.
Yeah.
That would be its own app type of a thing.
Right.
I think that's probably the way of the future, more so than all of the newspapers becoming digital versions is all of the newspapers becoming parts of a subscription service, maybe almost even like a cable subscription where you get all of your stuff.
In a way, that is the future, but newspapers don't like that idea.
Well, no, and it's not really good for consumers either because then you have fewer options and fewer a la carte options. All right, today in iWeird, this is weird. Chris from Glendale writes, "Hi, Sarah and Leo. I was just at my local Sears and I overheard the manager talking to another company. He was explaining how he was testing a new system out using the iPad as cash registers. He went on to say that by next year, all regular cash registers are going to be replaced by iPads in Sears. Chris actually took a photo, but it came out really blurry. But I like your investigative journalism here.
That's good. I have it. I have proof.
I'm going to believe you that you're in a Sears and you're looking at people talking about how they're going to replace all their registers with iPads. Doesn't that seem like an unlikely combination to you? iPad and Sears?
Well, you know that Starbucks and just did a big investment in Square, which is this point-of-sale technology similar to what they want to use.
Yeah.
And
I guess they have some sort of an aging system, and this just makes sense.
Yeah, Starbucks is going to be using Square. You know, somebody was quoting the new head of JCPenney, who's the guy who started the Apple stores.
Right.
He says, we're getting rid of clerks, and we're going to do it like an Apple store. We're going to turn JCPenney's into the same kind of clerkless automatic checkout that you get at the Apple store. And I just think that's not the future of in-person retail because service is so important. Now, point of sale and terminals, as long as they don't replace the cashiers and make me check out. Do you ever use the self-checkout at a grocery store?
Yeah,
it's horrible.
I do. But the thing is like they always have an employee who has to watch all of us doing it because people always get it wrong or they're like trying to scan alcohol and they're not allowed to or
I realize I'm mixing two things together.
They're watching us, and I'm like, you're not actually saving a job right now.
I realize I'm mixing two things together. I mean, the Square thing doesn't mean that there's not a human. In fact, the human interaction element is better when you pay by Square.
Hello, Sarah.
Yeah. They know you. They see your picture. You say, hey, whatever your name is, give me a coffee. And they say, sure, here. And you walk out the door.
Right.
That is a great experience.
Yeah.
So I think that whatever happens in the future, and it will have to be something where service is improved, the relationship is improved, because that's what brick and mortar stores offer over the anonymous but much less expensive and faster online. Now, obviously, coffee you're always, but Sears, do you need to go into a Sears store? I mean, can't you just buy it online most of the time?
Well, I mean, if that were true, then they wouldn't have Sears stores.
Well,
you want to look.
People,
you want to look at that lawnmower.
That's right. They want to talk to somebody. They want interaction.
And can you imagine? I mean, I don't know anything about lawnmowers. When I go there, I really want to talk to the guy
but
who
do
knows
you trust
about
that
lawnmowers.
Guy?
Well, I mean, I figure he works there and he answers these questions all the time. So yeah.
All right.
I mean, who else? I'm
so,
just going to trust my instincts.
In answer to the question, I wouldn't be surprised to see better systems that facilitate the transaction that are better for the customer, but you're not going to get rid of the human. The whole
no.
purpose of this.
Look at Apple stores. They have employees.
You can't
they have
even,
a ton of them.
You cannot even go into an Apple store without actually talking to a human who says at the beginning, "What are you here for?
Right.
How can I help you?"
Yeah, I mean, and they're busy all the time.
Yeah,
it's
the right way. It's the future of retail.
Can't get rid of humans, Sears. We're on to you.
Well, that's the question: is are they going to use these to
improve
that or use them to?
I think they probably have an old register system,
sure.
and they're going to streamline it somehow. And kudos to you. Kudos to you, Sears.
What page of the Sears and Roebuck catalog did you see that item in?
I used to love the way that Sears always smelled like popcorn.
Yeah, the catalog or the
no,
the place.
The store.
Oh, they do that on purpose, you know.
Because it makes you happy and
yeah.
you stay.
They have a popcorn, make the little popcorn stand there.
I know. And my mom would always be like, that stuff's really stale. You don't want that.
Doesn't matter. That's not
but
the
I
point.
I loved the way it smelled.
It's why many stores
all
have,
I liked about
have
Sears.
Little cookie bars.
I didn't like Sears otherwise. We'd always have to go in there and fix watches and stuff that kids don't like doing. There was a watch fixer stand at Sears.
Yeah, dad. I need a so new battery.
I got to fix this. Something wrong with a second hand.
Your childhood memories never cease to baffle me, actually.
All those hours in Sears fixing our watches. We just liked being on time. Unlike the Laporte family.
Do you have anything else, or are we done?
No, we're.
Should I talk about Ford?
Yes.
Okay.
Leo, gosh,
I'm just waiting.
You know,
I'm waiting for my cue
today. Ding.
Ding. It's time for. Actually, this is new. This is something new Ford's doing. They have a new site.
Yeah.
Social.ford.com. Have you seen this?
Yes, I have.
Social.ford.com. So it's really kind of like forum. Well, it's a lot of things. There are articles. In fact, I wrote an article. They're talking about a conversation I had. It's in the technology section. With Jim Buczkowski. He is one of the lead technologists there. And we talked about things. Well, first of all, one of the questions I always ask the Ford folks when I meet them is autonomous vehicles. When are we going to get vehicles that drive themselves? And mm-hmm. we talked a little bit about Ford has always said, look, we're going to add these technologies that make it safer and easier for the driver. We're not going to take over driving just yet, but right now what we're doing is using technology, things like lane departure warnings. So there's a camera on the car that is actually looking at the lanes and sees the lines, and when you go veer, it actually goes, you're leaving your lane.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I mean, just awesome stuff. The cameras can also do a lane centering feature. I don't think these are implemented yet, lane centering feature.
Why don't you fix your mic?
They have this thing called, can you hear me now?
Well, it's just rubbing a little
bit. They have this thing called workload information management. So if you're on the road and it's getting more, it's rainy or there's a lot of traffic, where these are all ideas of kind of, you can read about this in the article, actually. But if it's getting rainy, it's workload information, they reduce the amount of distractions in the car because you need to pay more attention. How to use the cloud to connect vehicles with your home and office. So this is all at social.ford.com. My interview with Jim Buczkowski is there, at least my conversation. There it is. But also, and there, if you go to the top there, you can also submit ideas.
This part I love. Because people always have these ideas like, if only this were possible, and Ford's actually listening.
Yeah.
They want to know what you'd like to see in a car.
I bet you they get some ideas that continuous power for plug-ins. Bring back the Pinto. Not going to take off, okay? Generating some electricity by mechanically moving parts. Somebody actually suggested, I think this is a great idea, a wind turbine in the car to help charge the lithium battery as you're driving along.
Yeah.
Automatic
sunscreens. I think that was submitted by a kid.
No, that was the biodiesel hybrid.
Oh, the biodiesel hybrid, right.
So they don't currently have a hybrid powered by French fry oil. Why not?
Why not?
15-year-old thought that one up. So, and when you're there, get yourself a badge. Now, I already got the Mustang badge.
Because you've got one.
Because I have one. I'm proud of it. I love the classic one, the Ford. But slide over one page. There's a Tech Geek badge. See that? Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
I love that. It looks kind of like a RFID or something. I want this badge. Get that badge. Excellent choice. You know, 6,739 nerds have chosen this badge.
I bet they have.
Why don't we make it 6,740 right now? Social.ford.com. Take a look. This is a brand new Ford social site. One of the ways Ford is entering the 21st century. State-of-the-art car company.
Let's go to some of our viewer feedback.
Yay.
The first one is an email from Mikey the Chimp. He's a party columnist in West Hollywood, California. I don't know what that means.
Wow, I
want
that
job. Writes about partying, I guess.
He probably spends 7 hours in Vegas in a giant pool.
Well, he doesn't have to leave L.A. to do that.
No.
Although everything is bigger and better in Vegas. He says, Leo and Sarah.
Yes.
Any reason not to delete my NBC Olympics apps and the official London app? Isn't it a huge loss of revenue and audience for them that millions of people have opened up this channel on their iPads and their phones? Now we're all just cutting it off?
That's a really great question.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this happens all...
Did you delete them yet?
No.
I didn't either.
Well, the thing is that there is still archived video.
Yeah.
So, then it's like, how often am I really going to go back to that? Maybe for the next couple of months if I want to reference something in particular, and then I'm going to forget about it.
You know, here's my question.
Why not keep, NBC.
How many times
alive?
Do people delete apps at all? Do you go through from time to time and delete apps?
Well, only because I fill up because of the show.
Chat room, do you go through your iPhone or iPad and delete apps? See, my theory is that, in fact, NBC and the 2012 Olympics, we recommended both those apps, are still on there. Remember, they got notifications. Mm-hmm. During the Olympics, I would see somebody just won gold.
Yeah.
Or maybe we'll start seeing notifications from them. Hey, don't forget me. I've got something cool. Have you tried the new NBC app? Have you seen Seinfeld lately? It's a great show tonight. That kind of thing.
Yeah. NBC, those are the kind of notifications NBC is going to use to their advantage.
The Olympics were old.
Have you watched the show that was canceled 20 years ago?
Now, I'm very
really
interested.
Good in syndication.
I'm very interested. Many of the people in our chat rooms, in fact, do delete their apps.
Yeah.
They do a little app hygiene.
I think that's smart. Maybe if I'm not using an app, on my iPhone it matters more to me, I guess, just because, I don't know, it's...
I should
littler,
probably go through.
And the real estate is more important or something.
I have a whole folder of Olympics apps, I
but
guess I could do.
There are apps sort of like this that kind of become useless. So, for example, MLB 2011.
Right.
But then they push out an update and it becomes MLB 2012. So the app itself sort of ceases to exist, but then it blossoms into something else that's relevant. Now, I guess NBC could do this. But they're waiting 4 years. Well, they're waiting 2 years for the winter, but another 4 years for the summer. So it's like, I don't know, 4 years. Nobody
you're not going to save it for four. But another reason I don't delete apps is because it just takes a long time. You have to hold it. It jiggle, jiggle, jiggle.
It is
you
not
press the
hard.
X thing. No, well, maybe it's just mine. Okay, so now it says delete. Well, that wasn't too long.
Well, here's what you do.
Delete. Oh, I guess it doesn't. I guess it's games. Because the games take forever to delete because there's game center data and it. That was pretty quick.
You organize.
In fact,
as long
as I'm deleting,
let's get
rid of this. You
connect it to iTunes on your MacBook. You organize everything. No. You get all the stuff on one page that you want to delete.
Oh, that was a $50 app.
And then
app
you go ahead and boom, 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 boom. Mm. Get rid of them all.
Really? Just like that?
Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, the one I showed last week. Oria.
And you're done with it.
No, but you can go get it again, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that's actually a very good point.
There's no real risk.
If you
risk.
Delete something and you've bought it, iTunes right. will remember that. You can download it again if you want it back. Got a voicemail from Todd, who is a Ford fan, speaking of Ford, and has an app pick.
Ooh. Guys, what's going on? It's Todd in Southeastern Connecticut. Just had an app review. I know Ford's a sponsor of Twit and all that, but I'm looking at the new Ford Fusion. Pretty excited for it to come out. And in the App Store, I found a great app called MFT Guide. And what it is, it's basically a simulator for the My Ford Touch technology that I'm hopefully going to have in this new car. And you open the app, and basically it brings up exactly what you'd see on the touch screen of the My Ford Touch in the car. And basically I'm ready to use My Ford Touch when my car comes because I've just been using this. It lets you, you know, touch all the buttons that you can touch on the car's interface and kind of brings you through all the menus and settings and all that. Really, really cool. Again, it's called MFT Guide.
Hello.
In the App Store. It's put out by Ford. It's free. and have a great day. Thanks.
So this is actually...
That's awesome. That Ford never told me about this. Isn't that great?
When he first called, I was like, eh, some like Ford ripoff thing. No, this is
it's from Ford
app. This is called MFT, so letter M, letter F, letter T, guide by Ford. And it gives you a really
That's what you would see behind your steering wheel on my Ford Touch. That's hysterical.
So it's a simulator, and it gives you, if you're on the fence and you're like, I don't know, what am I really getting here? I listen to these guys on Twit, but I don't know.
Wow.
It gives you a very, very good simulation into what actually you are able to do, you know, what it's going to look like, what your options are.
That's really a good idea.
Isn't that great?
And I like it that it's from Ford because,
totally,
you know,
that.
They have updated the UI. People complained it was a little hard to use. And so they really pay attention to this. And one of the neat things about it is that they can, there's firmware in the car. They sent people, 300,000 users, a USB key to update their My Ford Touch. And I presume then that this app updated as well. So that's, I think it is. It looks like the latest My Ford Touch interface. That's cool.
Neat, huh? Thank you.
They're a great company.
Thank you so much, Todd.
That wasn't even a paid commercial.
No.
In fact, Ford never told me about
this. I thought it was going to be some other company wanting to bank on the Ford thing. It's great.
Also available on Android.
Yeah, there's a little, that voice you heard, there's a little like animated welcome. If you're sort of looking at this going, I still don't know what any of this is, they'll kind of walk you through it. Got a video. Okay, this video is from Sam, and it's kind of like dropping acid. So,
hi, Sarah Lane. Hi, Leah Laporte. I'm Sam, he's Sam, and there's nothing we will not say without each other. And like you talked about the great app, Anti-Crop. It's a very interesting app. It's like Crop, but anti. Check it out. Also, I'd like to talk to you about iOS 6, and they have these new emojis. If you haven't noticed yet, you should try it out now. They've got a moon, they've got a sun, they've got everything. Okay, I'd also like to note that I have a new show on YouTube. It's called Modern Prodigy. Check it out, the beta version. And then I'll see you later. Thanks.
What the hell?
No idea. I watched it 3 times. I'm not sure what the anti-crop app is, first of all. It's like cropping, but anti.
Chad, do we have this kid's YouTube channel?
Don't understand.
He is a kid, right?
I'm trying to. Modern Prodigy?
Sound like Modern Prodigy.
Yeah.
Now, what he's talking about with emojis.
That is very cute. I like it.
With emojis.
Yeah, I love emojis.
If you don't know what emojis are, it's the little, what do you call them?
They're little characters, I guess. Yeah.
That you can use. I've actually downloaded
Mini icons.
A third-party emoji program. Yeah, but if I wanted to tweet out something, you know, I don't know.
Well,
like,
can I show you? You don't have to use a third-party program anymore to turn those on. Did you know that?
That's true. I like this program because it gives me a lot of really silly emojis, like the whale.
Those are the standard emojis.
No, these are cool ones.
Oh, they're all. Sarah Lane.
Leah Laporte.
Those are the actual emojis.
Okay. Fine.
You don't need a third-party app to see those.
Well, I have downloaded some emoji apps.
Yeah, but their emojis are standard. And that's what's interesting. That's what the Modern Prodigy is, if that's his real name, is pointing out, is that they now have new ones like the sun and the moon.
Yeah, because I've never known how to express myself without the sun emoji before I was, you know, walking around in a hot sunny day. Why am I downloading these emoji apps then? What am I doing?
Well, you used to have to do it. So,
well, that's what it is. Yeah, so it's
you don't have to do it anymore. It was the old way of doing things. So you have to turn it on. It's in international keyboards. But once you turn it on, you have, just as you were showing, all of the same. In fact, they're a little bit maybe more legible than the app that you were using. These are all the emojis. These are a standard character set. They're very heavily used in Japan, and that was the point. Was at first Apple thought, oh no, we'll never turn these on the iPhones. It'll just confuse people. But in fact, people wanted them, so there were third-party apps that would trick the iPhone into putting the emojis, making them available. But now it is just part of the international keyboard set. So if you turn on the international keyboards and choose emojis, you'll get all the. All the emojis. I love them.
I love emojis. I know some people are never going to... I mean, you either think it's fun or you don't. But sometimes we play games, my friends and I, where like I text something. Like,
exactly.
I'm trying to get something
across
to you. It's like a
rebus. Yeah, let me... Yeah.
And then on the other side, the person's like, okay, there's a swim, like the surf, And then there's a, you know, French fries, and then there's like a person crying.
The only negative on the emojis is it's not doesn't seem to be cross-platform standard. So
no, because you get those little boxes sometimes on Twitter.
Yeah.
Depending on how
if you're using a Mac
it.
Or an iPhone or an iPad,
you're
fine.
But you have to assume that some people just aren't going to get.
I wouldn't do it on Twitter.
What you're throwing down.
Right. And look, our chat. Yes, see, there you go, right
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
But our chat room is sending some emojis, and the chat client that we use apparently will show those emojis. So
like a wheelchair, an alien, and a chicken.
Yeah.
What does it mean?
It's fun. I like it.
Yeah. I love emojis. By the way, someone else in chat said that the anti-crop program will take a cropped image and attempt to...
That sounds dangerous.
...recreate what got cropped out of it.
Does it work?
I don't know. I've never heard of it before. I never heard...
Don't tell Kat Schwartz about that one.
Leo Laporte.
Sarah Lane.
Leo Laporte.
iPad Today.
iPad Today is the show that you're watching right now. And we love to hear from you. Whether or not you are a twin or have weird programs, or we don't care. We'll take anything and we'll show it. Write us at iPadToday@twit.tv. Leave us a voicemail at 757-504-IPAD. Or send us a video. We love seeing you guys. Thanks to everybody who writes us and calls us and videos us every week. It's
somebody told me that they really like watching this show because it sometimes seems like you and I like each other and have known each other for a while.
Oh, that old ruse.
Don't know her, never met her, don't like her at all.
Total jerk.
Yep.
Hate this guy. Really uncomfortable.
Get your hat.
Oh,
it's almost AppCap time.
You have to give it to me.
Get your hat.
You have to give it to me.
Can you get us a hat?
Someone get us.
Oh, I have the hat.
You have to give it to me.
I'm going to sneak you the hat while I'm talking about.
Sneak me the hat.
All right, I got a good one for you. I know you're going to like this.
As long as it doesn't have bells.
Cause you know what?
I don't want to upset the cycling community that listens to us. And
I am not very nimble.
No.
I can't quite.
I mean, no.
Okay, there's your hat.
Oh, thank you.
Let me just get up on a counter and then you'll see
and
nimble.
And then, yeah,
we'll really
see who's boss.
Have you ever got, has this ever happened to you? You get up on a counter and you can't get down?
Yeah.
Happens
I'm
to you
up and I can't get down.
Exactly.
I've been nimbled. No, I usually can get down.
But you see,
if I can get up, I can get down.
No.
You got to get up to get down.
No, because it's like climbing a tree. Sometimes it's easy to go up, but then backing down is hard.
You know
hard.
Who would agree with you?
Your
a
cat.
Bear.
Or a bear.
Bears. They go up real quick. They can't go downhill. They tumble. If you're ever running away from a bear, you go downhill.
I don't have to run away from bears. I just have to run away from you, and then the bear will eat you, and I'll be all right.
Well,
so let me show you, ladies and gentlemen, something very exciting to me personally. It's called Audible.com. Have you heard of it?
Yes.
Great place. 100,000 books. It's the ultimate audiobook store. And I am in that wonderful state right now where I have just finished a book this morning. I actually was late for work. I was driving around the block for the last few paragraphs of Stephen King's Stand. Like, the longest book I've ever read. It went on and on and on. Finally, it's done. Mm-hmm. Now, I get to pick a new book. And this is, actually, if you're new to Audible, this is the conundrum that faces you. 100,000 books. What book should you listen to? Here's what you do. Go to audible.com right now and browse around. They've got every category, fiction and nonfiction. I'm looking at the Audible app. By the way, this is a great app. What this does, which is, I think, really nice, is it lets you see everything in your Audible library, whether you've downloaded it or not. Now, I have been listening to Audible books. Let me refresh this, because there's a lot of new stuff in here. I've been listening to Audible books since 2001. I have 500 books, and if I wanted to listen to one, I can listen to anything right now. And then I have no new books that are coming up, which is really wonderful. Audible is just a great place. This is on the iPad, on the iPhone, on Android, on Windows Phone 7, audible.com. So here's the deal. You go to audiblepodcast.com/iPad today. You'll be signing up for the one book a month subscription, which I recommend. That's what I would do, at least to get started. Then what you'll get is the first month free, your first credit free, and so you could pick a book, listen to it, cancel it anytime, pay nothing, but that book is yours to keep forever. I just don't know where to start. There's so many great books on here. I think my next book, I don't know. I can't decide. There's just so many good books. I just listened to Kill Decision by Daniel Suarez. That's wonderful. Richard Dawkins, The Magic of Reality. I might listen to that. Night Soldiers by Alan Furst. This is like a thriller, World War II historical thriller. Ready Player One. You got to listen to that. And Will Wheaton narrates it. The Great Story by Ernest Klein. These are all in my library. What'll you put in your Audible library? That's fun. Figure it out. 47 hours and 56 minutes, The Stand.
Whoa.
That's a long book.
Holy crap.
Most books are about 8 to 10 hours.
Do you think there are The Stand audio people out there who are like, I'm going to do it in one take. No sleep.
No, you can't. That's 2 days of nonstop reading.
I mean, it could be done. Yeah. You'd just be a little nuts at the end of it.
You'd be crazy. Crazy. Here's it. Do it for free for the first
audiobook
book.
Marathon.
Oh, I love this one. This is one of my favorite books. American Gods by Neil Gaiman. And it's a full cast narration, which means all the different voices are acted out by actors. Really comes to life. That's a great one if you like Neil Gaiman. audiblepodcast.com/iPad today. Your biggest challenge today is to find a book because there's so many good ones. It's hard to pick just one. audiblepodcast.com/iPad today. Give it a try today.
Feeling patriotic. I don't know why.
You
just
look
feeling
great.
It.
You know, I thought that.
I look marvelous.
I thought that hat would suit you.
You know, I wanted a sparkly scarf and I didn't get one, but I don't care anymore because I've got this sparkly hat. It's so big. It just rolls right off of the screen.
It's actually too big for the screen.
It's too big.
And this is my hat.
It's too hot for this TV. Your hat is also very nice. Yeah, you look like you're going to go fishing and knit.
I am your favorite math teacher.
That's right. Yeah. You've become the really nerdy math teacher who says, I'm going to wear this silly hat while I teach
rectangles
you
rectangles are cool.
Equations. Hey, so my app cab this week is called Trap It. And before the show, somebody in chat was like,
Trap It.
Did you guys know about Trap It? And I was like,
You must Trap It. What is Trap It?
It is yet another way to read the news from a variety of sources. Now you might say to yourself, oh, gosh. Aren't there a million of those? And the answer is yes, there are. But they're all a little bit different. And I really like Trap It. And by the way, this isn't just an iPad app. It's if you go to trap.it, that's the web service as well. So you can sign up for an account and all that
stuff. So is it like bookmarking?
Well, it's more of I tell Trap It what I'm interested in off of the bat. So for example, I've just added some categories. I've got Apple, I've got fitness, food allergies. I don't really know why I'm so interested in
it. You don't have food allergies.
Well, I do. I'm not sure what they are yet.
But you know there's something out there
something
that's going to cause you to swell up like a
puffer
fish.
With me.
You just know it.
Know
one of these days you're going
to
eat it and you'll be sorry.
I have to blame food for my imperfections, right?
It's because
of my food allergies that I'm not smarter.
You say, I know I have a food allergy. I just don't know what it is.
I don't know what food it is. But no, I actually do. Like I get hives sometimes. And I think
but you don't know why.
I'm not really sure why. Anyway,
it doesn't have to be a food. It could be a person.
Person, place, or thing. Exactly. I don't know. It could be anything. Food allergy. I've added as a category.
Could be a hat
so
allergy.
Sue me. iPad is another hat allergy. iPhone, new music. Okay, so these are just categories that I went in and said, I want to read about that. So let's say that I say new Apple retail chief makes mistake and fired. Okay, I'm interested in this story. I go ahead and read the original story, which was on Ars Technica. So it gives
I want to read that.
Yeah, it gives me a nice little, so here's
he
the
fired his staff. That was a mistake.
Let's go ahead and read the full article the way that it's supposed to be read. Well, that didn't render very well,
no.
Did it?
So is this supposed to be like readability where it makes it all cleaned up?
Well, it's more.
It looks like what it did, it took the content out and left the ads.
Well, I don't really know what happened there.
Of negative readability.
It's not supposed to act that way.
The opposite of readability.
Yeah, let's go ahead and read the full article. This is how it's supposed to actually load within Trap It from the Sun Sentinel the way that it's meant to be. So this is, you know, an article that I like, and I go like, okay, yeah, that's fine.
So it did generate that list by itself. How did it do that? Do you know?
Well, what do you mean?
Like, where did those come from?
I told Trap It that I wanted iPhone-related content.
Yeah, and then it just said, okay, here's some?
Yes. This is not that different than other news readers where you say, I'm the kind of person who wants to
how
see...
How does it know?
Because it's pulling from a variety of sources.
Okay,
stupid. Like Pulse Newsreader or News.me
or Zeit. Or,
yeah, like that's the general
But Flipboard
idea.
Gets it from Twitter. Is it getting it from your RSS feeds, or is it
no.
just, it's got some sources that
exactly.
it just uses?
You could almost think of it as even like a stumble upon,
did
right?
Did you specify sources, or does
yes.
it?
Yes. I went through and I said, I want some articles on iPhones.
Got it.
That is one of the categories that I
chose. I understand that, but you didn't say Ars Technica, or did you?
No, I didn't.
Okay, so it has some sources.
Yeah. All right, so let's go back to the general. Okay, so these are the categories that I went ahead and said, this is what I'm interested in, right? I can also add...
Wait a minute. There's somebody in the chat room saying this is derived from a DARPA project that the Defense Department paid for the research
that
gave rise to TRAPID. It's the same project, Kalo, that gave rise to Siri. Is that true?
If it is, that's...
If you just tuned in, would you take this show seriously?
Of course.
Okay.
Would you not?
No, why? I don't know.
I mean,
why not?
We're talking about DARPA, and I'm in a glittery hat, being very patriotic.
The Defense Department's Advanced Research Project Administration.
Well, DARPA. That's very interesting, because this doesn't seem like a DARPA project to me.
Kalo was the cognitive assistant that learns and organizes, and according to the TRAPID website, this is derived from that project. The most ambitious and successful artificial intelligence project in history.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
So let's say that I'm interested in this article on TechCrunch about tablets not doing very well. I can go ahead and read the original article.
I want this.
Browsing around. Yeah, I mean, I want to say, and of course, this is an AppCat pick, so this is something that I like. You know, I'm not supposed to have problems with it. I think that a lot of people will say, this seems like other news readers that I might already be using that work well for me. And it is.
Right.
The whole idea is to say, I want to read more of the content that's interesting to me. You could do that by curating people that you follow on Twitter.
That's what Flipboard
does. You could do that via Flipboard.
Right.
You could do that via news readers that get smarter over time based on what you're reading. This is just, it's a nice, well-done it kind of reminds me of like Windows 8.
Somebody's going to win this game. That's what I'm saying is that I'm very curious. And if this has advanced technology behind it, maybe this could be the winner. I like Flipboard, but Flipboard is a Twitter feed. I'm going to try TRAPID.
Yeah, it's completely free. Again, if you've got an account on TRAPID or if you make one, then stuff that you save as a reading list on your iPad app or on the web app would be synced, which is nice. But then a lot of these apps do this. I think this is just yet another way to be able to get stuff that delivered to you that you have specific interest in.
So you I'm just using it for the first time, and so this is where you set up what they call a trap, and so you used iPhone. I think that's good. I'll do iPad, and then so it's now going to just create a trap that will trap stories from. I gather you don't get to really you choose the
sources?
The sources?
No. I mean, if you can, that's not a feature. I don't think so.
Interesting.
I don't think that's really the point, right? Because if you were choosing the sources, then you would just go to the source.
If it's smart.
Yes.
That's the thing. I want to see if this is really smart and can really predict the stories I want to read. And is it using what I read as a signal to improve it?
Yes.
Okay. I like that idea.
I do, too.
All right. Samsung Galaxy
stuff.
Note.
And then if you want to save it to other sources like Instapaper or Evernote, you have that option as well. So if you're in here and you're like, okay, I'm just going to go ahead and browse to death, but I don't actually have time to read 50 articles.
Right.
And you're an Instapaper or an Evernote user type of a thing, then you can kind of use it as the first pass before you add it to a reading list that you're already using. So you don't necessarily have to just make up another one. TRAPID. I like it. You go.
Wow. Yeah, I'm interested. I've just downloaded it and installed it.
I did not know anything about that DARPA connection.
I didn't either. I was reading it from the chat room. The chat room never lies.
That's awesome. I don't know.
Well, and you know, the new Dig app, which is an iPhone app, is also really, I think, good. I think we're seeing a lot of interesting news readers. Dig, of course, is human generated. TRAPID looks like it's done with artificial intelligence. So you say we talked about the fact that Amazon MP3s, the Amazon Cloud Player, now is more like iTunes Match. For $25 a year, you can match, don't have to upload, but match your songs that are in your iTunes library or anywhere else on your hard drive. They'll replace any songs that you have in your library with 256 kilobit MP3s. That's one difference from iTunes Match. It uses MP3s, not iTunes AAC format, without copy protection, and stored in the cloud. So I ran the Amazon Cloud Player Importer, which you can download. They have Mac and Windows versions. Uploaded 8,000 songs, except I didn't have to upload them. It just went through them, just like iTunes Match does. Mm-hmm. It said, oh, yeah, we got that. We got with that. Uploaded the ones it didn't know. And now, if you haven't tried it, I would recommend it. It's an iPhone app. So it's not, you know, the presentation's not gorgeous.
But it's music, right?
But it's music. So really, you don't care about the presentation. The Cloud Player from Amazon, it's free. And like an iPhone app, of course, it only does it in portrait mode. But this is what's interesting. Now all seven, there's two different tabs here, cloud and device. There is some music. This is music I synced with iTunes on my device. But there's also, literally now, 8,000 new songs in my library that come from my desktop computer that I uploaded. This is from my, let's just play a little Andre Previn, Rhapsody in Blue. Now, it plays very quickly. This is not on my hard drive or storage. This is coming from the cloud.
Yeah.
Plays within just a few seconds.
It's great.
Quality is good. I'll turn it down just a little bit. You get the album art and so forth. And what's nice, if you're running out of space on your iPad, or you only have a 16 gig iPad, is this is not going to take up any space. It caches it. Now, that's the disadvantage, too. You have to be online to use that. Mm-hmm. But this is, you know, a true cloud player, and like iTunes Match. Now, the difference is, if you use iTunes Match, it actually downloads that song, and it's now on the storage device. That's good, because if you're offline, you can still play it. It's bad, because it's going to use up memory. This doesn't use up memory on the disc.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's good to have both, and there's no reason not to. So this is new, an update to the Amazon Cloud Player that will actually play music from your collection in the cloud. And what's interesting is for the songs that I, you know, are not obviously in Amazon, like this is the old Screensavers theme. I don't know why Amazon doesn't have it, but it doesn't. So it uploaded. So I'm playing
theme,
it off the cloud.
It's the return of the Screensavers
it was
theme.
The return. Yes, it's actually the old Twit theme. Yeah,
right.
From Mark
Blaskin. Sounded like the Screensavers theme.
We call it the he says the Revenge of the Screen Sizzlers.
That's funny.
To avoid copyright
because of all the apps that I download. I know you download too.
We don't have a lot of space.
Show. Exactly. It's like I don't actually have space to put a bunch of music on my iPad. But I listen to music on my iPad constantly.
Right.
Now, some of that is streaming services that I pay a monthly fee for. But if I can just access music that I already have somewhere else, it makes perfect sense.
And if you buy music, as I do often on Amazon, their MP3, it's automatically in the Cloud Player and you can listen immediately. You don't have to download the song. So I just bought a new album, the new Peter Gabriel live album, mm-hmm. and I'm listening right away. So that's great, too.
Are you like, in your eyes, the live version is the best, man? It's actually a good song.
Do not mock.
I'm just saying a lot of people say things like that about in your eyes, the live version. I'm not mocking. I'm mocking the people. I'm not mocking Mr. Gabriel.
Do not mock.
And that will do it for this episode of iPad Today. Thanks to everybody for watching and listening and putting up with our hats and our antics.
Our antics.
God. Our antics.
I'm sick of them.
Antics.
I don't know how come you're not.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, pull the plug on this whole thing before we kill each other. But thanks everybody for watching. We'll see you back here same time, same place next week. Until then, goodbye.
Goodbye.